Now, London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
I was very, very sick for many, many years. I had suspected that there was something very wrong with my gut. I had a lot of symptoms. I was very uncomfortable. And so I went to doctors for many, many years looking for answers.
I felt like I was going to vomit every time I played the clarinet. I was always burping. And I was eating the healthiest diet that you could imagine. I was eating what you're supposed to eat, a high-fiber, low-fat diet. I was eating salads and vegetables. And I was basically eating like a cow. So a lot of raw vegetables and salad. And
so six people tried to hold me down on a table to shove this tube down my throat. And nothing came of it except the fact that I was very uncomfortable. The doctors, the nurses, nobody could help me with my struggles with my digestion and my overall health. I tried for years. They did test after test after test. And I got absolutely nowhere. Nobody knew anything about nutrition. And even worse, they didn't even know anything about digestion. So they couldn't help me whatsoever.
Eight years later, I haven't had any pain in my body for 8 years. And at 52, I'm healthier than I've ever been in my entire life.
Good morning, London. You know when Pam Colleen comes in, we have to fasten our seatbelts because we do run into turbulence. But I want to warn you this morning, we have some really serious turbulence because Pam Colleen is not only smart and savvy and well-read and incredibly well-researched, but this morning she's angry because on this issue, it is very, very personal. And I want to warn you, there's about 20% of you who are listening right now who suffer from what we're going to talk about. It's not a pretty topic. Burping up acid, that horrible stuff that comes up your esophagus, that awful, awful tasting stuff, may well be a sign of the issue we're talking about, Pam Colleen, and that issue is?
Basically, it's heartburn, you know, and people have very, very poor digestion today. And for many, many people, they may not even have symptoms, Andy. So millions of people do have symptoms, but then there's still millions who don't have symptoms who have a compromised digestive system.
I know a distinguished businessman in this city. He's very mm-hmm. well known. Whenever I eat with him, I cringe because he burps all mm-hmm. the time, and I can just see him putting his hands over his chest. He cringes, and then he has all this gas, and I don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. Is this what we're talking about?
Basically, in a nutshell, yeah. I mean, it's everything from heartburn to constipation to diarrhea. We have basically, you know, an epidemic of digestive disorders today in society. And if you want to take it a step further, then you can talk about things like Crohn's disease and colitis and all on and on and on the list goes.
Folks, if you know someone right now who suffers from any of this, give them a phone call and get them over to a radio, because what they are about to hear, they may never have heard before, and they desperately need to hear what we're going to talk about in the next few minutes. Now, the reason that this is very personal for Pam Colleen is, Pam, you've been there.
Right. I mean, I was struggling for years trying to find answers for my gut problems. And it ended up that I went for a test to a doctor here in London, and they tried to shove a scope down my throat to test me to see, you know, what was wrong with my gut. And basically, in a nutshell, what happened was, is about six people pinned me down on a table, and I tried to fight because I couldn't. The anesthetic they gave me wasn't working, and when they tried to shove this scope down my throat, of course I resisted, and six people pushing me down on a table didn't help. They ended up not being able to do the procedure on me, and in the end, of course, I had absolutely no help, no relief. If anything, I was traumatized by the event, and the sad part of it all is, through all these tests, all these visits, of course, these doctors and nurses got paid. Well, I didn't have any progress. I didn't make any progress with my health whatsoever.
What doctors don't know about nutrition and digestion is absolutely shocking.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's shocking. It's devastating. I mean, when I would say to them, you know, I think I have intestinal permeability, which translated means leaky gut, they look at you as if you have two heads, like it doesn't exist. And, you know, leaky gut or intestinal permeability, as it's known, is a real issue today. And we have to honor the lining of our gut. We have to eat the right foods to support the lining of our gut. And keep in mind that the lining of your gut is about 70% of your immune system. So we need to keep it strong.
You said an interesting thing a moment ago. We have a special guest we're going to introduce in just a moment. You said an interesting thing just a moment ago. When you talk to doctors and nurses, away from a microphone, they say, Pam, you're on the right path. Way to go. This is incredible. It's just not being told. When I talk to police and firefighters one-to-one over a coffee, they go, Andy, we don't particularly like you right now, but you know what? You're telling the truth. Keep it up.
Yeah.
Okay. Ryan, could we have that little piece of music? Because this guest deserves to be introduced with a little bit of her own music. Okay, what does a clarinet have to do with a leaky gut? You put those together, Pam Colleen.
Well, Catherine Pirtle, her story is very similar to mine. She struggled with digestive problems for many, many years. And can you imagine having gut problems and being a world-famous clarinetist? So what she's done is she's cured herself using nutrient-dense foods. And she's gone forward and she's actually written two books. One is called Performance Without Pain, and another book that she's recently written on acid reflux, called Acid Reflux, a National Epidemic and Precursor to Chronic Illness, Achieving Lasting Healing with Nutrient-Dense Foods. That is an ebook. And so she is, as a layperson like myself, coming forward and saying, you know what, you can cure yourself of these problems.
Catherine, welcome to the show. It's an honor to have you.
Oh, I'm thrilled to hear all of this. Pam's story, you know, we're not alone. Thank goodness there's more information available to people, but it's unfortunate that people have to look for it so hard.
I can't believe that you could go from a career of playing the clarinet and being among the world's finest to going to write a book on acid reflux. That's just about the biggest leap that I've ever heard of. Catherine, I want to take care of business. We have a short break because then I want to give you a stretch to tell. Number one, what you suffered through, in spite of all those doctors with all their degrees and all their books and all their knowledge who didn't know a darn thing about your disorder, about basic nutrition and digestion. Back with Catherine Pirtle in just a moment, right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
I felt like I was going to vomit every time I played the clarinet. I was always burping, and I was eating the healthiest diet that you could imagine. I was eating what you're supposed to eat, high-fiber, low-fat diet. I was eating salads and vegetables, and I was basically eating like a cow. So a lot of raw vegetables and salad. And
you know, I didn't think I was a huge fan of the clarinet when I hear this. That is beautiful.
Yeah.
Folks, we have Pam Colleen in studio this morning, and that means we rock the boat on health issues, as Pam likes to say. In spite of all these doctors and all these books and all these degrees and all this knowledge, we are simply sicker, fatter, and more depressed than ever. And Pam, even during the break, you were telling me a story about someone who's in an environment in which they should be able to help her, and she's not getting the help.
Well, I mean, it's you know, we're all struggling, like Catherine said before the break. You know, we're struggling to get healthy. We're going to experts to find answers. And unfortunately, even the experts that we turn to for our health are sick themselves. I have on my website, I have a CBC documentary that basically talks about Dr. Burnout. And they allude to about a 50%. And it is kind of a vague figure, but there's about a 50% burnout rate among doctors today. So they're not well themselves. And so when you're looking for answers to get well, unfortunately, you know, even when we turn to doctors, they're looking for answers too. And so when I talk to doctors, off the record, of course, they want this information. They want to see their patients get well. They want to get well themselves, but they don't simply have the answers. They're not taught in medical school some of the things we're going to be talking about today.
Let's go to Catherine Pirtle. Catherine, you have an incredible story. Two parts. You got sick, you got better. Let's start with the you got sick.
Okay. I tell people, really, my illness with acid reflux started with symptoms throughout my life. I even as a kid, I had flatulence. I can remember, you know, just having farts.
There we go.
A little kid, and I didn't know anything, you know, better. And my mom fed us the way you're supposed to feed all your kids, according to the government. High-fiber, low-fat diet, and we ate, you know, a lot of, like I said before, salads and lots of whole grains and some meat and eggs and stuff, but really relying on those whole grains especially. But I started my college career as a music education and performance major in clarinet, and I started having chronic pain at about age 22, and I, you know, sought out all kinds of help for that throughout the years. I was an expert in physical therapy. I had massage therapy, chiropractic, all that. And it wasn't until I was 42 years old that I developed acid reflux. So I had years of chronic pain. And that was my first digestive symptom that was affecting my whole health. So I had flatulence as a kid, and then I had chronic pain. And then at 42, I developed acid reflux. And I decided that I was much better off not eating wheat. So I cut out all that whole wheat, which was supposed to be so good for me. And I was just eating rice, and I had vegetables and salad, a little meat and eggs. And I thought here I had really gotten it right. I did the typo diet, more protein in my diet. And then at age 45, I developed a spinal inflammation that affected my hands and fingers so that I didn't know if I'd be able to play my instrument anymore. And I decided that even though I had cut out the wheat, that there was some gluten in my diet that was affecting me. So I cut out gluten. And then I'm like, okay, I really have this right now because the inflammation went away. And I thought, okay, this is the best diet on the planet, and I was still eating the, you know, the salads and the raw vegetables and the meat and the eggs and olive oil. And 6 months later, I developed chronic diarrhea, and I really didn't know if I would survive. I was so ill, and here I was eating this amazing, amazing diet that there was no sugar in it, there was no junk at all, and the thing that had happened to me was that I had a leaky gut, which Pam talked about, a leaky gut, and I had malabsorption from all the years of damage to my intestinal tract. And even though I was not eating foods that were offending my digestive tract, like gluten, which was causing inflammation in my body, my gut was so damaged and so permeable, I was absorbing no nutrients. So no matter what I ate, I was dying. And I thought I was really in an emergency, and so
forgive me for being impertinent. I'm just wondering, how do you play the clarinet for the Chicago Symphony Orchestra when you have chronic diarrhea?
Well, this is the thing. At the time that I had chronic diarrhea, I'm an extra player with the Chicago Symphony. At the time I had chronic diarrhea, I was playing extra with the Lyric Opera, and it was very hard. When I went to orchestra rehearsals, I was always watching my watch because I had to absolutely run to the bathroom. I remember performing on stage at the Chicago Cultural Center. I was playing a solo with piano, and I had to go to the bathroom 5 minutes before performing, or I wasn't going to make it on stage.
Okay, Catherine, let me set it up this way. We have in a couple of moments, we have a short news break. I want to ask you at this point, for those doctors who are listening, and they're saying, here's how I would have approached that. With the symptoms that you just described, what was the medical world saying was the solution for this world-renowned clarinetist?
I honestly did not see medical doctors because I knew they would poison me. So I did this with my chiropractor.
Okay, let's pursue that a little. They would poison you. What would they have done?
They would have made it so that my diarrhea would have stopped, and I would have probably taken acid reflux medication and probably given me some drugs to you know, cover up the symptoms, but it wouldn't have corrected the problem.
Okay, so we've got the sick part, and in just a moment we're going to ask you, how in the world did you get a better part? But let me ask you this. The way you suffered endlessly for decades because doctors didn't know their stuff must make you livid.
Yeah, it did. I saw a doctor, a medical doctor at the Performing Artist Clinic often, and the best she could do, and this is a world-renowned clinic for musicians, best she could do was give me anti-inflammatories. In fact, so that I could pay for my appointments, she had me do a little commercial for these anti-inflammatories. And I mean, never. Well, she didn't know anything between the relationship between inflammation and the gut, which is so profoundly important.
And you talk to a lot of people with your work, because I know you do a lot of seminars. You talk to people every day who are struggling with acid reflux, and you must hear nightmare stories.
Yeah, and they're not obviously not just performing artists. I mean, one in five people has it, just acid reflux. Now, let alone who has chronic inflammation. I mean, there's probably four out of five people are ill with these things. This is such a serious epidemic. We're really getting to the point where people are not going to survive past, you know, middle age with these kind of problems, because they're signs of malnourishment.
Catherine, say that again. What fraction of the audience out there suffers from things like acid reflux and turmoil in the gut?
It's got to be, it's at least one in five has acid reflux, but I'm sure four out of five people have some kind of digestive disorder.
Wow, there's a lot of doctors having a digestive disorder right now hearing your theories, but we're going to plunge ahead anyway. Absolutely remarkable, the story of how Catherine Pertl, this world-renowned clarinetist, responded to her medical condition. She was dying. She got better, and you won't believe how. We'll tell the story when we come back in just a moment, right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
This is such a serious epidemic. We're really getting to the point where people are not going to survive past, you know, middle age with these kind of problems, because they're signs of malnourishment.
Catherine, say that again. What fraction of the audience out there suffers from things like acid reflux and turmoil in the gut?
It's got to be, it's at least one in five has acid reflux, but I'm sure four out of five people have some kind of digestive disorder.
The places, Ryan, that this radio show takes me, I mean, who would have ever thought when I got up at 3 o'clock this morning that we would be talking to a world-renowned clarinetist who is talking about her problem with burping, farting, and chronic diarrhea. I love her already. She is an amazing woman with an amazing story, Catherine Pertl. If you have just joined us, she's been telling us how sick she was, how incredibly difficult her life was, having chronic diarrhea while you're playing in an orchestra. Put that together. So now we move to this amazing part of the story of how she got better. Not because she found a doctor who had an epiphany, but because she had one herself. Catherine, if you would.
Yes, I. This is the best part of the story, that there is an answer. The answer is going back to foods that our ancestors ate when they were living on farms, which is real food from animals on pasture, focusing on nutrient-dense foods that support digestion and offer the body the highest level of nutrients. It's really not rocket science. When I learned about the Weston A. Price Foundation and the work of Dr. Weston A. Price and his studies of healthy populations worldwide that all had different diets, and he compiled those basic diets that gave them perfect health into components that are absolutely essential for human health. When you take foods from farms, sustainable farms, grass-fed animals and pastured poultry and this kind of farm that model that we used to have, most people are familiar with, you can come up with these basic elements in your diet just by going back to those foods. And so I found a source of raw milk. I started drinking kefir, which I cultured my own raw milk. I made bone broth soups. Bone broth soups are old-fashioned soups made by simmering the bones, either chicken or beef or lamb. And, you know, you cook the vegetables for a long time, and all those nutrients are available along with the meat and the bone broth to your gut. It's one of the most healing foods that you can consume. I healed my gut with the bone broth soups, and then I started eating foods that were fermented, like the kefir, from raw milk. I ate a lot of eggs from pastured chickens, even raw egg yolks. I know you're all going to say, oh my gosh, raw egg yolks, but egg yolks are and eggs are not poisonous at all raw when they're coming from a pastured chicken. So I would make smoothies out of the kefir and the raw egg yolks, and then I would have fermented vegetables like homemade sauerkraut and pickled beets. But, you know, I'm not talking about rocket science. These are just foods my ancestors ate. I had a lot of raw butter in my diet. I now would consider my diet to be a high-fat, low-fiber diet. I don't eat a lot of raw vegetables. I eat some, but it took me 2 or 3 years to even touch raw vegetables after eating them twice a day for 20 years because my digestive system was really damaged, and I had to heal that first.
Catherine, we just got an email. Let me read it to you from John. I've been living a low-carb, high-fat lifestyle since June of 17th of 11. I am 5'10", weighed 332 pounds. I was told by my doctor I needed to go on insulin. I started to eat low-carb, high-fat. I put butter on my eggs, coconut oil in my coffee. I fry meat in butter or lard. I tell my butcher not to trim the fat whatsoever. I have lost 75 pounds, no processed fats or oils, no products containing potatoes, corns, grains, flour, rice, sugar, etc. Sugar counts now stable. Cholesterol and triglycerides were high, now are perfect. Thank you, John. Peace and love to you and yours. How many people, and I keep stressing this, what fraction of our population, Catherine, desperately needs to hear your message?
Well, I think everybody really needs to listen to this because you're not going to hear it from medical doctors. You're not going to hear it from the government because people are not trained in real nutrition. Why should we abandon nutrition that people ate for thousands of years?
Yeah, how it's illogical for an old-fashioned food to cause a modern disease.
And if we had people with all this disease back, you know, before the 1950s, believe me, we would have had books about nutrition. We never had books about nutrition. People ate real food, period.
Are you saying that Michael Landon on Little House on the Prairie never had the scoots? Catherine,
if he had the scoots, he didn't write about it. And I would say, that no way did he have problems, because when you eat the old-fashioned foods, you're getting foods that support your digestive system, the fermented foods, because they didn't have refrigeration. People just don't understand that without refrigeration, people had to keep their foods edible by fermenting them, smoking foods. They had homemade everything, and it was just a way that you prepared your foods, but also people needed those fermented foods for their digestive system to work and to be able to break down nutrients.
Now, my apologies. I didn't want to shock you with that picture of Michael Landon. Let me ask you this, Catherine. I'm thinking of a friend. As you're telling this, I'm thinking of my friend Ian, who used to live next to us in White Oaks. And he used to talk about colitis and Crohn's disease. And what struck me is two things. One, how terribly he suffered. And secondly, how he suffered in silence.
Yeah.
Many people do.
Yeah, and I think the thing is, I could have done all of this without writing a book. But I thought to myself, not only do I know performing artists who are in pain, let alone pain, they don't know that the pain is caused from their digestive tract, so I need to write this book for them. And then I know tons of people that are taking all kinds of medications for acid reflux and all of this. If I don't write a book on even an alternative, it's nobody will know.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's take a little bit of a turn here. I want to talk about the connection between the gut and the brain, because the gut is actually known as the second brain. And I know, you know, when I'm talking to people who have poor digestion, they tend to have problems like chronic fatigue, depression, anxiety, and so on. And I know this is based on a book called The Second Brain by Dr. Michael Gershon, but there is some heavy truth in it.
Yeah, and I suffered from depression when I was younger. I was bulimic when I was working on my PhD. And you can say, oh, I'm a musician, and so then it's okay to be depressed, but I don't have depression now at all, and I certainly am not. I don't have bulimia now, and I'm just thinking of the years I suffered from just not feeling physically good or mentally well.
Catherine, would you give us a testimonial? Right now, there's people listening to this, and they're trying to decide, do I buy what she's selling? Give us the story of someone who's been impacted by your story for whom it made a crucial difference.
Well, there's a violinist that I know of. She was in the hospital with ulcerative colitis, and she got in touch with me, and she was dying, and she said, you know, I heard about your book, and I'm in the hospital, and I want to try what you're talking about because I think maybe you can help me. And I gave her my protocol, which is always starting with bone broth soups and doing that exclusively for a week. Well, now 4 years later, she takes no medication. She doesn't have to see any kind of medical doctor for her problem because she has no problems. And that's just one person. I speak to people all over the world. I've helped people to just go back to real food. And I start with bone broth soups with them, and then they gradually add the cultured dairy. And if they can't tolerate dairy, they'll do something with coconut, which is all in my book. And time after time, I've helped professional singers who have nearly lost their career singing recover from acid reflux. Just, you know, people who have any kind of digestive disorder or chronic pain, these things are worth trying because they're not hard. They're just going back to our ancestors and how they used to eat when they had farms.
Catherine, a couple of specific questions. I had a friend of mine who was stopped on an elevator the other day by a person who knew that they were a friend of mine, and they said to this person, what's this thing that Andy and Pam have with raw milk? You know, raw milk, if you don't pasteurize it, it'll kill you. Could you share the message?
Well, I mean, I've been drinking raw milk for 10 years, and it's the best food on the planet because you could live on just raw milk. The thing about raw milk that's so wonderful is if you're getting it from a certified raw milk dairy, which is the only dairy you should get it from, you should not go to your industrial farm and try to get raw milk from the vat with 1,000 cows where the milk is stored. If you go to a small farm and you get raw milk, you're getting all of the nutrients in a digestible form that can support health 100%, including enzymes and probiotics for good digestion. And when you pasteurize milk, all of those things are gone.
Can you tell me, Catherine, sorry to interrupt, it just struck me the horrible irony of what you're saying. You're saying that raw milk is absolutely crucial to good health and could actually save people's lives. But here in Ontario, we got a farmer who's producing it, and he's being treated like a criminal.
Yes, Michael Schmidt, by the way, who's an incredible conductor, and I've played the Mozart Clarinet Concerto on his series, Symphony in the Barn. And, Michael Schmidt is really saving people's lives. And the government does not want to, I guess, have healthy people. And I'm pretty sure that, you know, if we would just change our governments, we would be in a lot better shape. Because if the government doesn't support free choice of a person to eat the food of their own choosing, I mean, what do you have left?
We have the health minister for Ontario, Deb Matthews, who lives right in London. No indication that she has a clue on this subject. In California, at least, they allow the sale of raw milk.
That's right. In Illinois, you can get it where I live. You can get it at a farm if you bring your own container. But really, this is about human rights, and this is where we all have to work very hard at keeping our human rights. Now, for some reason, we have governments that want to take them away, and it just can't happen because people deserve good health. Without the health of our children is going to be the future of our countries.
Now, I just want to mention two things. First of all, Michael is conducting this weekend. He's got the Symphony in the Barn this weekend up at his farm in Durham, Ontario, and his website is glencoltonfarms.com. So that's this coming Saturday. And the second thing I want to talk to you about as well, Catherine, is the fact that you're not mentioning fiber in any of this equation, and that is usually what people turn to if they have digestive problems.
Well, the reason why they're turning to fiber, because they're having trouble going to the bathroom. A lot of people are actually constipated who have digestive disorders. And the reason why we're constipated today is because we're not eating fermented foods anymore. We're not eating foods that help the digestive system work properly. And I used to actually go between constipation and diarrhea, so I know what that's all about. And what people have to understand is the more fiber that you put in your diet, the more that expands, especially fiber from grains. It expands in your gut and causes more problems. It pulls all the good bacteria out of your intestinal tract. And there's a wonderful book called Fiber Menace by Konstantin Monastirsky, which I recommend to people. And I've reviewed that book on my website. You can look at performancewithoutpain.com. Too much fiber is very, very hard to digest. We don't have an enzyme that digests that will break down cellulose. So the more fiber you eat, the worse your digestion is going to get. So it's not an answer. And I know this because I did it for years. It just doesn't work.
I agree.
We have to take a short break. I want to ask you this when we come back. It is virtually the law now at the London Middlesex Health Unit not to turn on the radio when Pam Colleen is on. In fact, I've heard rumors that you can be arrested and taken down to 601 Dundas. I'm being slightly facetious, but why aren't we hearing this stuff from them?
Okay.
I'm going to ask you that when we come back in just a moment, right here on London Today on News Talk 1290, CJBK.
This is such a serious epidemic. We're really getting to the point where people are not going to survive past, you know, middle age with these kind of problems because there are signs of malnourishment.
Catherine, say that again. What fraction of the audience out there suffers from things like acid reflux and turmoil in the gut?
It's got to be, it's at least one in five has acid reflux, but I'm sure four out of five people have some kind of digestive disorder.
Wow, I love that music. Catherine, I love that music. I mean, it's really growing on me. Do you have a CD available? Where could we get that music?
Yes, go on orionensemble.org, O-R-I-O-N, ensemble.org, and we have many CDs available to the public. And that CD is our Mozart CD, by the way. It's an awesome CD.
And we're now getting email and phone calls asking again for the names of your two books.
Yes, Performance Without Pain. It's available on my website, performancewithoutpain.com, and on the same website is my book on acid reflux. Since it's an e-book, and it's you just have to go on that page. It's called Acid Reflux, a National Epidemic and Precursor to Chronic Illness. And I think that it's very succinct. It's not a long, difficult book. Neither of these books are to read. And
well, that's good. I'm glad you mentioned that because I'm thinking of Dr. Bryna Warshawski and Dr. Graham Pollitt, our local medical officer of health, and they like to keep right up to speed on all the big health issues, which is why they listen to this show all the time and take notes. So they've got the information on your two books. But why, Catherine, are we inclined to think that Bryna Warshawski won't even read your book?
Well, I hate to be conspiracy minded because I'm a performing artist and I.
It's okay. We
I
do
like
it every week.
We
do it every week, so go with the conspiracy.
Okay. I think that our government is bought off by corporations and pretty much everywhere now, and our medical doctors are being trained by corporations instead of people who are interested in health. And we're being sold a bill of goods, and so it's up to us as people who believe in life, beyond this generation and health of our children and grandchildren, to really fight against these powers. I mean, we really shouldn't have a government that doesn't support true freedom of information, and a government that's run by a corporation. That's just not government.
Catherine, after all the years of everything from burping and farting and diarrhea and all those horrible, horrible things that you have gone through for so many years, how good does it feel to feel good?
Oh, my God. I have had no pain in my body for 10 years. That's one amazing thing if you're a performing artist. That's like being an Olympic athlete. I have no problems with my digestion. I have an amazing career as a performing artist, and I've given 70 seminars in the last 7 years. I'm helping people all over the world. It's an amazing thing to have health. You have so much energy. You can do whatever you really dream you want to do, and you can make a difference on our planet when you feel well. When you don't feel well, all you can think about is how sick you are.
Mm-hmm. Well, congratulations, Catherine. You have a very inspirational story, and your books are amazing. I hope everybody gets at least one copy of one of your books and can get themselves well, just returning to old-fashioned foods.
Yes.
So I appreciate you coming on the air today.
I really appreciate it, too, and I wish everybody the highest level of health. It's so worth it to go and make these changes. You won't believe how much better your life will be.
Thank you so much, Catherine.
Okay.
You're a hero. You're a hero in my books, and I'm so delighted for you that you're feeling so good.
Thank you so much.
And I just want to finish up today by talking about our public participation meeting that's coming up in London at the end of January, January 25th, and this will be on the fluoride issue, Andy. So the story keeps evolving. I want people to mark this down on the calendar. January 25th, 7 p.m. We're not sure of the exact venue, but we're working on the details right now. So people who want to contribute to the meeting, who want to do a five-minute presentation of some sort, they can contact Betty Mercier. That's bmercier@london.ca to submit their names for a presentation that date.
Pam, we're going to get fluoride out of the water.
Yes, we will. And we need to ask Health Canada questions at this meeting, and we're not quite sure whether or not we're allowed to ask Health Canada questions, so we're looking into that.
Wow. Pam Colleen, another fabulous show. Thank you so much. What a story from Catherine Pirtle. You can get all the details from Pam Colleen's website, pam@pamcolleen.com, correct?
Yes, that's
there it. There we go. 11 o'clock news coming up next. On the other side of the news.